Hi, I'm Michelle Binger, Managing Editor of Quality. I'm here today with James Geedy, Calibration and Quality Services Manager at Advanced Technology Services. So James, thank you for being here today.
Not a problem, Michelle.
So to start off with, can you tell us what trends you've seen with calibration lately?
Yeah, I would say probably there's a couple positive and negative trends. I mean, a positive trend would be that there is a lot of different things going on in the IIoT, Internet of Things, some improvements there around reliability and calibration. I'm seeing a lot of that lately here in probably the last 3 years. And I think maybe not a negative, but a challenge for the industry is really having the resources, the human resources available that are trained and available to start when you need them to start. That's been a real challenge.
Do you mean with your customers having issues with staffing or?
No, just in general, looking for calibration technicians in general, whether it's a customer, whether it's ATS, whether it's some of our competitors in the industry, it's just a very difficult thing to find properly trained individuals.
Makes sense across the board with manufacturing these days.
Right.
And so from customers, are there any common requests you've been hearing or things that it seems like people want more of lately?
Yeah, probably from a customer perspective, they're looking more at, you know, a complete managed service and not just calibration from a transactional perspective where the customer sends in a gauge to be calibrated and they just do the calibration, send it back. They're looking more towards a fully integrated partner that can help manage the entire process, the process on the floor, out of tolerance process, the entire management of their system to be compliant to their particular regulatory requirement.
And is that something you guys have been doing for a while?
Yeah. So we've really kind of transitioned based on our complete company model of really kind of what we call four walls maintenance. And we really look at the technical aspects within a factory and the four walls within that. And the calibration is a piece of that that we like to embed ourselves and we manage the process of calibration within the four walls of the factory. That's one of the main things that we focus on to help streamline the customer's process. Also make sure that they're keeping up with efficiencies within the industry, standards that are updated, all those kind of things that we can help them with to obviously run cost efficiency as well as production efficiencies.
And so in your work, is there any advice you would give to manufacturers who want to improve their calibration?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest advice that I have is when you look at calibration, a lot of times, right, you look at calibration as really kind of a thing to meet, of course, your product quality, but also you have audit standards you need to meet. But really what you should be looking at is how aware are you of the impact of your calibration process on your operations, whether that be from an efficiency perspective, whether that be from a cost perspective, whether that be from understanding the actual technical impact of your calibration process on your product itself. And having all those things aware to you through visual management, I think it is a major thing that really is missing within organizations around their calibration process. And that's something that ATS really is, we feel we're kind of leading the way with how we graphically represent the operational support that calibration gives to the executive management team at the plant. So they have a visual understanding of what the impact of calibration is at any one time. So they can make informed decisions up to the minute or up to the week or up to the month. And that's really what we pride ourselves in with our process.
Can you give us an example of how that might affect a company or what they?
Yeah. Yeah. So you might have your calibration scope defined. You may or may not have that calibration scope defined. And for example, in the calibration industry, a well-known fact is the importance of the measurement is actually in the uncertainty of the measurement. The uncertainty kind of tells you what is what your actual capability to make a certain level of measurement is. And that portion then allows you to do what's called a test uncertainty ratio, which shows the impact of that measurement that has on your particular product. So an example I like to use when I explain that is, if you're trying to lose weight and you're out looking for cereal or any type of a food product, the first thing you look at is you look at the calories and all those things on the side of the package so that it helps you make an informed decision. Calibration uncertainty and calibration and test uncertainty ratios is that exact message for someone that is buying the calibration process. They need to know those, that information. They need to know how it impacts their production and their piece parts so that they can make the right decisions when they're purchasing tools, when they're calibrating tools. And those are some of the things that ATS visualizes for our customers so they're able to make the right decision when they purchase the tool up front. And then also how they calibrate that as the years go by or the months go by, and the reliability of that tool to make the proper measurement so they're getting the proper quality decision made at the product level. And that's really where I think that impact comes into play for our customers and certainly the industry.
That kind of leads into my next question. Are there any misconceptions you hear about calibration or things people don't seem to understand very well about them?
I think misconceptions are probably, you know, what it takes to actually do a proper calibration. I think a lot of times people, their perception of, you know, what it takes is, you know, a person doing a simple task that is very well defined, which it is, and they can just do a step-by-step. There's no probably critical thinking involved, but really as you get deeper into calibration and you advance yourself into, you know, what quality awareness of that process and what it takes to do it, having technicians that understand uncertainties and how they apply and whether or not the calibration that they're doing at the time is really the proper calibration based on the elements within the uncertainties. I think that's really important and people don't think through that. And that's some pretty in-depth statistical analysis and knowledge on the technician's part to understand that. And that's really so the technician can see the issue in the process before it actually happens. And by that time, typically in calibration, because it's risk mitigation, it's too late because you've already, the process has already produced a part and it's gone out in the field. And then they're finding out there's an issue then. So really making sure that your technicians have the ability to identify failures through uncertainties and other means, I think is one of those pieces that a lot of people overlook, the complexity.
Yeah, like what you said about risk mitigation and calibration, it seems like.
That really is calibration is, that's the tool. Calibration's not something that can ever be reactive. It is about risk mitigation. You'll never know you have a quality problem typically until the product leaves the facility. And so mitigating as much risk in a cost-effective manner is really the name of the game when it comes to risk mitigation activities, like any quality activities like inspection or auditing or calibration. That is all about mitigating risk out of the product back to the consumer.
Yeah, it seems like the cycles are an important part of that. People want to time them so they don't do it too often, but also, you know, the downside of doing it too late is also really big.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point, right? That is part of being aware of your calibration process. What is that interval? How do you determine that interval? And that's called interval reliability. That's the ability for the tool to be reliable within a period of time. You know it's going to be good. And there are standards out there that people use, like the RP1 method, that define that, and it's a statistical control. And again, right, who in the factory knows that? It would be good if your engineers or your calibration technicians were trained in understanding those things. And again, that goes back to what we talked about before, which is the resource, the human resource is the most important thing. And having that individual have the knowledge to see those things, to recognize that there might be a problem and then to use the proper tools to execute a change in what is done today in the plan.
And I know the, you know, current events kind of have changed the calibration process as well. So have you seen anything, how the pandemic affected things?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Big time, especially when you're using third party sources. So let's say you have a particular item like a CMM or an item that only the OEM can do. The OEMs, because they have a very small service staff and small and relative to the industry, right, to what they're supporting, because their technicians get sick too, well, that causes a ripple effect in all the scheduling across the country for that particular OEM. And what we're finding is that something that you could have maybe scheduled a month, 2 months, 3 months ahead of time, now you're taking a real chance. If you don't have that scheduled for the next 12 months, that you're actually going to hit your schedule. And then the other piece of that is, if they are drastically impacted within that time period with their technicians, even though you have a set schedule, you may lose that set schedule because their trained techs are out with COVID issues. And if you think about that, where most of those, especially the in-house, where they have to come in like a CMM and be on site, they are going from plant to plant and they are interacting with a lot of people, which brings the risk of them being in contact with an individual even higher, which then they have to sit out and wait, you know, 14 days, whatever the state applicable laws are, before they can even enter a facility.
Did it seem like business was busier for you with?
It has. It's very much picked up as far as activity around folks wanting to do assessments of their business to look at whether or not they're running their program appropriate. I think a lot of what's driving that today is probably, again, a resource-starved industry, right? So when you have your own calibration technicians, you're a production plant, very difficult to find the right people to do that. And if you don't have a big reach, it may make more sense to just outsource that to the company that has the ability and has the background in searching for the right human resource or has the right training infrastructure support to support when folks are out. You know, certainly in the type of industry or the type of product and service that we do for calibration, when you're running an entire process and that's your focus, you have to have a lot of support individuals to make sure that if someone's out sick or extended periods of time, we have individuals that can back that person up that are properly trained to go in there and continue that service. So the customer's not disrupted. And customers, if they do it themselves, right, they don't have a lot of calibrations in their back, calibration technicians in their back pocket just to pull in if one of their individuals go out. So I think where I'm seeing a lot of that probably derives from their risk assessment of actually being able to acquire the right trained professionals to do calibration.
And that makes sense. A third party versus just one or two people in-house.
Right.
And can I ask, how did you get involved in calibration to begin with?
So I never was in, you know, a lot of our folks come from the military in military trained calibration, or they've had a background in industrial or production calibration. I really started out as an in-process calibration technician, just doing in-process gauge repairs. I had an electrician's background, and so that kind of gave me the skill set to be able to do that kind of stuff. And then I was actually brought in to a new laboratory that we had took over and just started learning from the mature staff that we already had at the site and really kind of took the time on my own to read periodicals, to read books, to read anything that I could get my hands on, do any testing or training that I could do. I'm just like a lot of folks in the calibration industry and just move my way up from there.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear people joining the field and kind of educating themselves. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I think those are the main questions I wanted to address with you, but is there anything else you want to mention?
No, I think the biggest thing in calibration is making sure that if you have a calibration program, really looking at it holistically and really coming up with a plan that addresses not only the asset management piece for ISO 9001, but really understand how to manage the metrological piece, the actual measurement science, what happens within that lab. I think folks out there, that's the biggest thing that they can learn. That way they're more aware what they can expect out of their calibration process.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like metrology is often misunderstood or confusing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, thank you again for your time today, James. We really appreciate it.
Okay, I appreciate it, Michelle.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.